Welcome to the show, everyone. This is the ShadowNet. I'm Phil, also known as Xeroth Maxima or OX the Mama. What? I get it all sorts of ways. With me, extra special guest today, the current U.S. national champion of Android Netrunner, Eric Keelback.
Thanks a bunch for having me again.
Oh, my pleasure.
I've got a question though.
Yeah.
What does your username mean?
So, there's this dual slit experiment in classical physics. Yeah, you've heard of it, where you shine
light. I actually know a lot of. Yeah,
and it makes bands of light on a backing plane. So the bands of light are considered maximas, as they are the peaks, the regional peaks of intensity in the light. You've got minimas, which are the completely dark spots, and you can order these bands of lights. And the middlest one is not the first band, it's the Xeroth one. So I just thought that was like a cool phrase, Xeroth Maxima.
Yeah.
Aside from that, it doesn't really have any personal meaning.
No, for sure. Did you go to like school for engineering or physics?
Yeah, I did electrical engineering. Related to light or anything like that, but you come across it.
I don't know how physics, for sure.
Yeah, magnets, how do they work? No one knows.
Yeah, actually, though.
You've been a busy boy since last time we talked, 1 week ago. By the way, people love the last one, which is great.
That was crazy. The reaction was crazy, right?
An episode per week is building expectation. I don't know if we can maintain that.
No, we're not doing that. Like we're in sort of like, you know, the heart of the Netrunner news season.
It's like playoff seasons right now.
It's playoff season, exactly. I think when Gateway drops, I imagine we'll do something like before Gateway, obviously. But I think aiming to do something every like, I'd say like 2 to 4 weeks is like going to be the realistic.
Do you want to do the thing where like a new pack comes out and then we like read the card title and talk about it?
Oh, absolutely.
And see if it's good or not.
Yeah.
You tell anyone that you're listening to a podcast about that and it sounds like the dumbest thing ever, but it's always riveting, no matter who's talking about it.
Well, people like it.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to do a sort of when rotation happens, I want to do a look back and like cards, like favorite cards that are rotating, like what's impactful. Like we got to farm Nisei for content. That's
absolutely
important.
Just milk them dry.
And
before we get too far here, the threat level alpha, we will be naughty boys. We will be swearing probably shortly. I think it's been clean so far, but don't expect that to last long. Big thanks to V Herman for giving me some recording tips. If this episode doesn't sound better, then my apologies, but the quality will be increasing as time goes on.
I had multiple people tell me that one of the reasons they like this podcast is because we swear.
Wow, who knew? What an untapped market in the community.
We're carving out that niche.
Yeah. Who knew that's all it took?
But I think we'll probably do an episode after... I can see us doing like either an episode after North American Continentals or after Intercontinentals at least. Because Intercontinentals is in 2 weeks. We're recording this just before NA Continentals.
Yeah, I'm going to try to drop it right before.
Yeah, so NA Continentals is upcoming in a few days. And then after that, a week is Intercontinentals, which I'm going to be playing in.
That's only a week apart. Wow.
I think so. I mean, like, I don't know. Nobody, like... I don't think anybody knows what's going on, actually.
It's all make-believe, so whatever. I like week between events. You know, everything's just still rolling. Like, the hype is real.
Yeah. I did not realize this. Aki, well, I think she's an ordinary hacker girl on Slack.
Akira, blue-haired hacker girl, white-haired hacker girl, ordinary hacker girl. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Self-described... Sunder? This is like an anime term that she tried to explain.
Sundere, I think is how it's pronounced.
Yeah, self-described She's been doing every. She did. She's doing every single event, regardless of time zones.
Just an amazing display of commitment.
Oh, for sure. The community. Same thing for Vesper and Austin, and like, you know, it's they. These days, bending over backwards, it's pretty crazy. Same thing. Andre's been. Oh yeah, Vesper's great. Andre's been doing commentary for all three events. He's in the Canadian time zone, so he had to wake up early for like APAC and Europe. And
I can believe that. Yeah, you told me last time you were commenting on the European thing. I woke up at like 6 a.m. here and turned it on, and I was like, no, there's no way. There's no way Eric's up at this time. You weren't.
I did.
He was,
though. I did round 6 and 7. So yeah, I later sort of started around. Yeah, yeah. I started at 11:30, which was nice. It meant that I didn't have to. Yeah, I didn't have to wake up early, and I was well rested and like stuff for commentating, which is good. Doing commentary was fun for Euros.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed the little bit that I got to watch.
Yeah,
great work. Did who you... won? Chris Ferg. Good job.
Yeah,
I don't know who that is. Well,
I don't know who he is either. You know, that's a tough problem. It's tough because there's a lot of players in the UK. I feel like the UK is like the Netrunner Thunderdome.
Okay, describe that more, because I don't know what you're...
Well, like the player quality is so high in such a tight area. So, like, imagine, you know, you might have, like, 6 store champs in, like, 100 kilometers. I don't know. Maybe this is wrong. But, like, you might have 6 store champs within, like, 100 kilometers. So you have Chris Dyer, Mike P, Patrick Gower, Rotom Appliance. And so if you want to break through and sort of get and like start winning tournaments and really start making yourself a name in like sort of the international sense, when other people from other regions are going to pay attention to you and be like, oh, this person's really good. It's really hard in the UK, I think.
It's harder in the UK to become an international celebrity. I don't know about that.
That's absolutely true. What are you talking about? Absolutely. Just because the geographical space means the same players win all the time.
Yeah, so they get that deck list of the week, which just makes you a superstar off the bat. Way easier, because their population is so much higher, and they won like 5 events with the same deck. Easy.
No, I'm not disagreeing, but I'm saying that, you know, in the United States, you might, like, I'm not saying Chris Ferg is in like the middle tier of competitive players. I don't know Chris Ferg at all. But I'm just saying that in the United States, it's a lot easier for like a middle tier player to break through and win like a regional, because often you don't have like the same group of competitive players going to every regional, you know? Like there were years in the UK where like a roving gang of bandits.
The Thunderdome.
Chris Dyer and his gang were heartlessly going to every regional. And it's like, that's intense because it puts a lot of pressure on the mid-tier players to break through, and it means less breakthrough, so you get less names going to the international stage.
Gotcha. Okay. I think the big names shine more, and the smaller names just get left in the dust. Whereas here, you know, you just go to FFG for regional and win that, then you're famous forever. Eric.
Exactly. I've actually never won that regional, but I came close many years. I've came close twice. I got second twice.
So I love that they can still do it at the FFG Game Center.
Well, the FFG staff really like Nisei.
That's what I've heard.
Everyone I've talked to there has been like super positive about it.
But not publicly. So we'll beep this whole thing out so it never gets out.
yeah. And I think, like, I mean, they had Damon Stone on. This was not like a messy divorce. They were like, oh, no one liked designing for Netrunner in the end, and it was just miserable by the end. Like, everyone was sort of sad to see it go.
Well, the FFG president called it the Mona Lisa, like, when they were asked how they're going to replace it. So, clearly they still like the game.
So, in terms of, like, who Chris Ferg is, like, I have absolutely no idea. But
good job coming back to that. Do you think he's secretly Canadian, so Canadians can win all three Continentals?
Well, he's British. Well, he technically is Canadian because he's like Commonwealth citizenship, right?
Yeah. That's how the Commonwealth works? That's how Venn diagrams work, right? Where the little bit of the Venn diagram, and he's the big empire of the UK, which is obviously part of Canada now.
I think it's not like part. It's like a bilateral exchange.
Okay, sure. That's how Empire works.
Yeah, that's how Empire works. And so yeah, we're claiming him as this is a win for Canada, really, in our hearts.
Yep.
Which is pretty impressive considering a Canadian won 100 like. There were way more people at Euros than I thought there would be. I was wrong, absolutely.
Euros is huge.
What did I say? I said there was gonna be like less than 80, right?
Yeah, there was 140.
No, it was 117. Yeah, Euros is basically like in my opinion, is kind of like Worlds for people who can't fly to the United States.
Yeah.
So it's usually like a pretty big deal in my opinion. It's the biggest event in the continent.
Speaking of Euros, identity distribution, what'd you think about that?
It was a lot of, Titan was, like, kind of underrepresented, right?
No one listened to you to just play Titan.
I don't know. I mean, I think the meta is self-correcting for Titan in some respect.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, if you look, like, Leela was played, like, almost double what 4-9 was played. No, that's not true. But it was, like, 30 to 20. So it's like, a third more Leela than 4-9. And the
huge boost of Leela. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, massive. I think that's kind of Longi's doing. Like, the Leela list, Longi got second at APAC, and his Leela list was, like, very teched for Titan.
Yep.
And so I think it's, like, a natural evolution. I think I talked about it last week where I was like, I think we're going to go this way because the 4-9 is just, like, not doing enough in the Titan matchup. I do think that, like, despite the play rate of Leela, Titan was still underplayed. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Yeah.
And
but people will play the decks they like.
Well, yeah. I think Chris Dyer said that his testing group basically was like, we're not going to play Titan. And that makes sense. Like to some extent, I can like empathize with that position because you have to play like a 7-round tournament. And if you're going to play a corp deck that like you think is like miserable.
Yeah.
And I think they were also getting results that sort of pushed them in the direction of like, well, this Asa is like, I think they said the Asa was better than the Titan, which I don't think is true, but they did feel that, but I do think the Asa like is in the same realm as the Titan.
Asa is a very different pressure on the runner, right? Because obviously we're way more focused on like assets, trashing and gaining tempo that way, as well as kind of funky fast advanced stuff. So it's a very different pressure. So if people are teched more for Titan, they might not be able to deal with the Asa, which we saw.
Yeah, it's interesting because like the way to beat Titan kind of is like, okay, you just need to get like accesses at all costs.
Yeah.
But in the Asa matchup, that doesn't work as well because they have Lakshmi. So if you just sort of, like keep going broke to like get accesses, they'll Lakshmi you out and you lose. But I liked Chris Ferg's version of the Asa list, like it was on MCA Austerity, which I thought was good.
MCA is but, just a great win con card. A real success from FFG, I think.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I think, like, it's the same thing with Lakshmi. I just think it's, like, right now the thing about Asa is it's very disputed about what the, like, canonically correct build is.
And that's a sign of a good ID for me, where it's not just, like, here's the one build that makes sense with it. Here's what it's good at. Asa, it gives you a lot of options, right? Like, originally, it was people thought more to use it with Jinja than anything else, which makes sense. It came out with Jinja. It was a little while until we saw this more horizontal style.
No, it was fully operational, right? Like, fully operational was the card that, like, pushed it over the edge, which I think is a cool card. I like that card a lot. But, yeah, so, like, that was the only other thing. Like, that was the thing that... The outfit was played a lot, which didn't surprise me. Argus was played a bit. Like, it was a lot. It was basically Asa, all, like, the three Wayland IDs that are all doing kind of, like, different things.
Yep.
And then just, like, random corp IDs. And the runner side...
There's, like, GameNet and Acme, were actually two of the strongest NBNE IDs in Swiss.
Yeah, I guess, like, the thing with the GameNet is, like... I just don't consider it a meta force because it's like seven people played it out of like, it was 6% of the field.
Yeah.
But if you add up all three Wayland IDs, the big three Wayland IDs, you get to like something like 40% of the field, like 36% of the field. So yeah, there's GameNet. There was also CTM. Like on runner side, it looked to be basically just like Leela 409, and then like a pocket of Freedom Hashiko. The Germans, which didn't really surprise me, but because I think it has good outs, is they brought Geist.
Yeah.
Which made sense to me. The Geist has like, it's on Clot, it has Stargate, it has a good type matchup, and I don't think it's good versus Asa, but I think they think it's good versus Asa, and they're like good enough at Geist to make it work.
It's just a very strong deck overall, right? So even if it's not like particularly teched to it, it's just like a real good deck.
Was there anything about that surprised you about the identities picked?
Yeah, definitely more Geist than I thought there would be. We really didn't see Geist. I haven't been seeing Geist on JNet for a long time, and we didn't see it in the Asia Pacific. So just the I guess mostly Germany's fault, but just the spread of those guys.
Yeah.
Was a little bit surprising. Other than that, I think the Wu deck that came first in Swiss was just, oh, you got Sneak Door in there. Maybe let's go find it. It's just, it's, who made this?
It's Mortivore's.
Yes, list. Mortivore. Well done, Mortivore.
I think this tournament is like very European. Do you know what I mean?
Like we were shitting on Shaper last time.
It's fucking bad. It's still fucking bad. No. You can't tell me that you think Shape is good now because it got first in Swiss.
No. In my heart, I wish that were true. But come on. Like, you have so many fewer options when you're playing Shaper than with any other faction. Like, your lines of play are, like, so set, so predictable. And that's why you have to splash freaking Sneak Door.
It has the artist. Like, come on. This list, like, this list is a fucking meme. Like, what are you talking about?
Don't you wish the artist was good, though? Like, there's a place in my heart that was like, man, I wish the artist was just, like, a good card.
I guess, like, the problem with the artist being good is it promoting a playstyle that is fun to play against?
Well, exactly the problem with Shaper, right? Like, if they're too good, click for credits, camp you, and then it's just a boring game to play out.
I'd rather Shaper cards be good. Like, I think Compile is a Shaper card that I like it when it's good. Because it's interesting. And it makes the board state dynamic. I don't like the artist because it's just like, oh, click for credits, install things. Like, regardless, like, you could change the numbers on. Like, you can make it one to install or whatever.
Yeah.
And just if we want to make it quote-unquote good. But it would still be fucking awful to play against because no one likes playing against that kind of deck.
It's just kind of, you know, once they're set up, you're locked. There's not that many decisions that are impactful on the corpse side because the runner is just waiting for you to slip up, right?
There was two Shaper decks in the top 16. There was
a Haley 2. I gave that a little spin on JNet. It seems solid.
Yeah, I think that's Greg. That's the Greg Tung effect. Tung is just so good.
Explain the Greg Tung effect.
Well, this guy, like, he, like, all he does, he's like, when, you know, he was gone for like 4 years and he just meditated at a Shaolin temple and like was taught the ways of Shaper or something. Like, all he, like, this guy, like, weaves straw into gold every time he plays Shaper. I swear to God, he has dedication to the cause. He'll play Shaper in any meta. It doesn't matter. And
same Greg Tung that was lead designer for Nisei for Ashes.
Yeah, and he was like second at Worlds, right?
I know he's done very well. Never clinched that, like, top spot, but just a.
But he's such a, like, legendary player. He's like. Well, he's quantifiably, like, a good player. Like, I think anyone who thinks Greg Tung is not good at Netrunner is, like, out of the loop. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think sometimes players do really well and then sort of, like, disappear for a bit. And then people are like, oh, that means they're not good at Netrunner anymore. And, like, Greg Tung never stopped being good at Netrunner. He's, like, continues to be excellent.
Yeah, and there's a couple ways you can gain notoriety in the community, right? Just consistently doing good and shitposting a lot. But he doesn't go for that second option. Let me hit you with this, though. You say he's like the Shaolin Shaper guru. Is that why Shaper cards suck in Ashes? Because he's so good at them. No, he made them like so finely tuned that nothing was like above the curve because he's like, oh, I could break this easily. No one else knows how, but he's got it all up in here, right?
Yeah, he had the power. He knew. He chose not to rock destruction on the understand it better. No, I don't know. I think like part of the reason was I don't know, I like the Shaper card. Like the problem is the Shaper cards in Downfall I think are like pretty good. Downfall, like Ashes as a whole, are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple misses. Like I think really the only like big sort of like miss is Rezeki being one influence.
It could have been higher. You know? I agree.
Well, it should be three. And it'd be fine. Like I think it's fine in Shaper. Like it's a good, like I think as an econ engine in Shaper, it's interesting because like they're the faction that's taxed for MU.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of like the sign of the chip thing has been interesting. At first I was kind of like, oh, I don't know if I like it seems like different. It's like, you know, you like clone chip.
You know I like clone chip.
Are we gonna talk about the clone chip fraud I committed at Worlds last year?
Yeah, okay, I was gonna bring this up when we were talking about UK players. The only one I know is Rotage, because he would it be a burglary, thievery, something like that. preface this whole thing.
Well, like it's tough. It's tough because one of the things that Nisei has done, which I like, is sort of communicate to artists like these are cards that we are thinking about rotating, so that like someone doesn't make like, you know, an alt for a card and then it rotates and it's like you put all that effort in and with the idea that you're going to sell this product and you can't sell it anymore. But you had made these clone chips I think before Worlds.
They were older for sure. I made them for regionals of,
yeah, and they're beautiful. They're really good.
19 or 2018.
Yeah, I like them a lot. I have them in my cube right now. They're really pretty. Like a lot of people really, really like them. And so Phil gave me a set to
of cards. Clone chips and Project Atlases. The Atlases, look, what happened with the Atlases was like, hey, I'm leaving for Europe. I need these cards on like September 2nd or something. And I'm like, holy shit. He's going to be in Europe for like a month before Worlds, and I got to give it to him. Like, I got to get going on this alt. And I like rushed it out, got all this stuff printed, and then you're like, oh no, it's like a month later. So those turned out a little less good than I was hoping. They could have used a couple more.
I don't know.
Passes.
I liked it.
They're cool. I think people liked the concept.
I like it. Yeah.
Anyways, but, clone chips.
But not as good. But the clone chips are really liked. And then, so I was essentially like, I'll sell them for you. But it was a bit of a crisis of conscious of like conscious no what conscious what's the
crisis
thing called
where of like faith you lost your faith in God by
yeah, well I lost
participating
faith in, God a long
in capitalism
time ago. Well no because the problem was I was set testing for Nisei at the time and I knew that clone chip was rotating
yes and you were selling
knew,
these hand over fist.
Yeah, so, and they were popular, and people were like,
"It's a good
were
card."
Like, it was a great card, and people were like, "Oh, I'm like taking like I'm buying like you know 20 of like 10 sets to bring it all home to our meta in
oh,
like
Jesus.
In the UK." And it was like, I always just had to sort of be like, "Yeah, like good job," but like
I
think
feel
someone,
so
like,
bad. Okay,
so I think someone was like one person was like. Are these going to rotate? And I had to be like, I don't know, because I can just like tell
you can't
him.
Spoil it. Well, no one thought they were going to rotate because what happened was, I think it was Code Marvelous was doing a stream with Nisei on like the JNet mirror. And then somehow there it got spoiled that, and this was months before Appreciate World, it. Like Clone Chip was still a legal card.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of people, myself included, was like, oh, they're going to keep Clone Chip 100%. They're keeping SMC. They're keeping Clone Chip, which was true probably a couple months before Worlds. No.
Yeah. No, I don't know. It was just like, it was funny because like we sold, like I sold like a lot. Like I sold like maybe like 200 euros worth of clone. Like I sold a lot of clone chips. Like maybe 100 euros or like 200 euros worth of clone chips or something like that. And, we got back to, I remember like 2 months later, Uprising came out or something and Clone Chip rotated.
Did you get like death threats being like, you sold me these faulty goods. It's all Eric's fault. Don't send the hate mail my way.
No, I think people were understanding. I think it's like a risk kind of like I think people knew creation can I think at the time creation control had been announced to rotate, but people like them. I mean, like I think they are great for like cubes and eternal decks and stuff like that. Like
Oh, yeah.
eternal gives cards like those like a new home.
Well, here's a scoop for you. I took the exact same art, the exact same card frame, and I just wrote Simulchip on it. And I got some of those printed. So I'll put those up on
Stuff.
MCP,
Yeah, for
MPC
sure.
at some point. It's rock bottom
Gotta reuse that
prices.
content.
Yeah, sorry for getting grifted by Eric.
But on Simul Chip, I for the for example, I really like Simul Chip. I think it's different than Clone Chip. It's interesting. I like Pilongi a lot. I like the new Breakers. But yeah, like I mean, I don't know. I think the Shaper, like as we talked about last time, the Shaper just has this like design problem right now, which they have to sort of change in upcoming sets. And I think,
Yeah.
but yeah,
Well,
I
I
don't
think
know. You
the
could,
theory of the game has shifted a little bit, right? Because like you go back to Corset and stuff, like locking the Corp out, it was just like the game state you were always building to almost. Because there wasn't that many tools, you know, all these tricks we have now. So any faction you played, that was almost like the end result you wanted. So I think that permeated further sets. We saw like this huge diversity in play styles emerge from later sets, which obviously is fantastic. But Shaper still kind of pegged into that slot, which they've had some weird stuff come out for Shaper, but nothing's ever good enough outside of that play style to really push them over the edge in a different direction.
I will say one of the things I felt about the Europe tournament is like it was kind of like very European because I do think there was kind of like a gentleman's agreement that we're not going to bring the degenerate decks.
That's nice of everyone.
Well, yeah, it is, but like it's not realistic. Like this is the sort of like Rousseauian ideal of like, you know, everyone's voting in the general will's interest, like everyone's being happy. NA is like the Hob is like the Hobbes, like, you know,
Well, it's a
life is
prisoner's
nasty, you
dilemma,
should
right?
show it.
It's
What
like,
it's a war, it's all against all, like,
yeah.
but I think so for North America, like what makes the meta look nicer is that the runner diversity is reasonable because Titan isn't keeping it down as much.
Yeah.
But the reality is, in I think that in North America more people will be on Titan, which will have like a more of a constricting effect. And I think also in North America more people will be on Freedom. And I think Freedom has a really big constricting effect too.
I've been playing a lot of Freedom on JNet. People are seemingly testing that out.
Dude, are they playing like the Turtle Data Circuit version?
Oh yeah, that's the one I've been seeing.
It's good. I think it's great. Do you not
It's
think it's
easily
good?
beatable.
You feel that way?
No,
What
I
do
just
you?
play dumb meme decks, so I mean if they fall into my traps, then yeah.
Oh, for sure. I think the Freedom deck, one of like the problems it has is it only really works if it assumes other people are playing really good decks.
Which I don't, so free wins for
That's
me
the
all
hot tech.
around. See you in the
But I think it
finals.
I think it has problems versus like Egg Infusion, for example. Like
Yeah.
the Egg Infusion deck I think isn't good because it's really struggling against Leela. So in theory it should be kept out of the meta. But you might just like roll up against like an Egg Infusion player on JNet. You like have this false impression of the deck strength.
But I mean, that's why you practice, right? See
No,
where the
for
decks fall
sure.
apart and what you can do.
Do you have any predictions for North America?
Oh man, who's gonna do good in North America? Who are some of my favorite players?
I think Will's gonna do well. Will is Sokka 234. He's the Canadian national
Yeah,
champion.
he's a good one. He's a good one.
He's
I'm
good.
rooting for
He's
him.
good.
Yeah, I think he'll make it to day two.
Yeah, like top
Oof.
16.
Yeah, I think so. I think he'll go
I
far.
think
Top four. Top 4
so.
for him.
Top four. Okay, that's a hot take. Yeah,
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think I was talking to him. Yeah, top four. Top. He's our boy. Top four. Absolutely.
I'm
Not
rooting
even a
for him.
question.
Top one, I will not be sad. And then we clinch in the Canadian
Triple
domination of
Canadian
all
win. Yeah,
three
the trip.
regions.
God, if a Canadian wins North America, I actually think like in the region tier list, America is getting like
demoted,
moved down a tier. Yeah, they're getting demoted below Canada, and like we're swapping spots. Yeah,
it's like legendary Netrunner territories. You know, you got UK, you got Germany, you got Canada, then you got Australia, New Zealand. There's that one that just popped up in Chile, and then a couple other little countries here and there, and then US at the bottom.
Well, it's like when you read those news articles that are like, oh, you know, in rating of like adult literacy, the United States falls below like the median average. It's like that, but for Netrunner. You know what I mean?
I was thinking we should shit on more people so we'd have more haters on our podcast and then just generate drama that way. So this is a good start.
Well, I don't know. I just think that the NA, I think they're just getting soft. They're getting a little, North America's getting a little, United States are getting a little soft. I mean, a Canadian kind of came in and won their nationals.
Yeah, who did that?
So, yeah, there's questions about, like, if those jokers know what they're doing. I think the only meta that is, like, super strong right now is Boswash.
The meta that you famously have your testing group in.
Oh, absolutely. Like, there's bias, maybe, but those fuckers know how to play.
Maybe. Maybe you're a little biased. Can you explain to our nice listeners how a guy from Winnipeg ends up in a testing group from New York?
Oh, so, yeah, it's a good question. Basically, what happened was, by random Slack message, I ended up hanging out with the New Yorkers at Worlds. And I remember Matthew Yeaton, who is Scry, who is a stalwart member of the New York meta.
Great player.
He's a great player, great guy. He came into the room, and I came into the room. I didn't know him. I was like, hey, I have this deck that I think like was kind of off meta, and I want your thoughts on it. And I pull up my IG deck, and he's like, oh, I have brought IG too. And like all the New Yorkers brought IG at the same time. We were the only people who decided to bring IG. And it was just like a love, like that was the beginning, like love bloomed. It was like eyes met across the room, both playing IG.
Just winning over hearts and minds.
Yeah, exactly. And then so tears, I met up.
All the emotions.
I think like I became closer friends. I hung out with Kat and some of the New Yorkers in San Francisco. And then so, man, I don't even remember how this started. What invited me? There was some event that I was, I think there was some event. I think it was like
some
a
some sort
chat.
Of event in San Francisco that wasn't very important because a Canadian just walked in and swept everyone.
Yeah, exactly. But I think after that in February, I'm trying to get my timelines right. I think it was like February, December.
You went to visit New York is what you're getting to.
Yeah, I went to visit New York, but I think at the time, yeah, I went to visit New York, and then they were doing the Fight Club stuff.
Oh yeah,
and they had asked for like some advice and stuff on stuff like that, and then so I helped them with that, and then they were like, well, we should practice for store champs together, and then by that time we'd started practicing together, and it started as not like we're gonna collect all these super good Netrunner players, but it really just started as we're all friends. You know,
that's cute.
It was me.
So it wasn't
Rob.
An existing group that you just slid into.
No,
okay.
No. It was Rob, Cat. It was Rob, Groncalf. It was Kisra, and it was Scry. And I met them all in New York. I thought they were all great. They thought I was great. We were like, let's play together just because we like each other. And then I got introduced to Laura, who
she's going top four too.
Oh yeah. Well, I think like it was Laura, and then from there it just became kind of like if we have someone who we think is like really good, and then also is like an asset to our like skills, like I think in terms of like membership, growing membership, it was kind of just like, do we know somebody who we think is like we're friends with, who has like a skill set that is good and like is good at Netrunner and a good attitude, and so that's kind of how Jonas, the Big Unit 3000, and Chris, they both sort of, you know, onboarded because it was just a good fit. They were like, oh, we want to practice decks, and they were like, well, we want to practice decks too, and we thought they both had really good skill sets. And then, you know, we just keep winning stuff, so it works. Like one of the first big wins we got was we won the New York store champ. Scry won the New York store champ on decks that we like brewed in the Snare Bear group.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, that makes now we have evidence that this works. And then I think we did okay at Fight Night, but the big win recently was me taking down APAC, which was like a big for our group too, I think, because we tested and like the freedom list was all like that was just coming from our group. You know what I mean?
Is that something you recommend to up and coming players? Like, find a group of friends, find a group of people who are interested in getting better and get better together instead of just grinding randos on JNet?
I mean, I think that in terms of like how to get better at Netrunner, no man is an island.
You don't know me.
And and so if you have like an opinion about Netrunner or like a preconceived belief about how Netrunner works or about how decks a matchup works, it's helpful to have other people talk. Like, it's helpful to like talk to other people about it because they might bring a perspective or say something that you didn't think of. And this isn't like unique to Netrunner. I think that's unique to life, where collaboration is good because I think it's, you can have good ideas, but I think it's silly to think that like your ideas are not only that are like basically perfect. No one's ideas are perfect. Everyone needs like a bit of help.
It's silly to think you don't have any blind spots, right?
Exactly.
And we don't know where our blind spots are because they're blind spots.
Yeah, and so I think that in terms of like getting better, just like having someone to like play against and talk and be like, did you think what I did was correct? At even like a basic level, like not even talking about like formal testing groups, but like at a basic level, how to like improve at Netrunner. Talking to people and like talking about like, was this the right decision? Is this the right card to put in my deck? How should I approach this matchup? Is just a good way to think about Netrunner instead of being like, because if you just grind games all the time, like it's a lot slower, and then also like you can poison your own progress because you don't know if you win a game, you don't know if you're drawing the correct conclusions because you're biased because you were playing the game. But if you have someone watching the game, they might be able to be like, oh, well, actually, like this game, you made mistakes that you might not have seen. Yeah,
like there's like these really big knock-on effects that are hard to see in a lot of games we play, and then just going back afterwards, you can kind of start peeling back the layers and seeing that.
Yeah, I think the Netrunner thing is like Netrunner is really fucking complicated, and it's improving on your own is really tough. I think there are ways to do it where you improve on your own, but I think like even like Kevin Tame published a sort of like a series of articles recently, 2 years ago, about his job as the hacktivist and how he sort of like Kevin Tame's like, I think no one would disagree with me. Kevin Tame's a great player right now. Like he's super, like he's really good. The reason he's really good, and he wasn't always really good. That's the thing. Like I remember I knew him not when he started, but like in 2017, and he wasn't very good. He got better by like, one of the things he pointed out was like having a mentor is really big in improving your skill. Like having someone who is like better than you sort of like mentor you is massive for your like skill increase.
Yeah, totally get that. I should find a mentor.
How do you prepare for tournaments?
So this is my thought process. I brew some corp jank on JNet.
Mm-hmm.
I play that a ton. I get pretty good at it. I bring that. I make about like 6 different runner decks that I keep losing with. And then the night before the tournament, and this is critical, you just build a new deck and bring that runner deck. And then you place like bottom third.
That's interesting. I think I don't want to be rude. I do think our tournament experience, like tournament lives are different.
A little bit different, yeah, I think.
In terms of like where it's interesting to me that like that's interesting that you say that because that's not my like experience at all. But I think our approach to tournament Netrunner might be like different.
No, and I think like we play the game for different reasons, I think, right? Like you obviously being good, having this expertise. I just enjoy the game. I enjoy the community. I like the card art. I like thinking about it. I'm okay talking about it.
For sure.
That this is a real podcast now? Because we decided to record a second episode.
Oh, I do like how, like, yeah, so, like, we recorded this podcast, and then after we recorded it, we were like, oh, what do we call it?
Well, we'd landed on the winningest agenda, which I was like,
I like the winningest agenda.
That's so confusing for anyone that's like.
But that's why it's good. No, I'm the APAC champion. No. I'm the APAC champion. I get their brands. Their brands are my brands now.
I told Jesse we changed it because you already took enough from Australia.
what are your goals? Like, when you're like make a decision, like I'm gonna like you just like you drove up to for Canadian Nationals this year.
Yes. We stayed at the same Airbnb, and you saw me the night before putting together a cabo deck.
That whole trip was just fucked.
that was a fun trip. I mean,
it was fun. It was
I like Edmonton.
So
I went to school in Edmonton. It's got a special place in my heart, but it's you like don't really just take up a road trip to Edmonton to go hang out, you know?
Yeah, it was a 13-hour drive for like the six of us.
Yeah, that was amazing.
I remember we had that beautiful. One of the things I picked out the Airbnb, and I remember one of the things I looked for in that Airbnb was it had that beautiful long table with like the benches.
Lovely, yeah.
And the benches were great because, like, that table was just filled with Netrunner cards and it never got used for eating or, like, anything else. Like, it was just, like, Netrunner play space. And, like, we had, like, everyone from Winnipeg brought their collections. So we had, like, a million collections at the table. It was
so many. I had, like, all my cards in the car. I don't think I had to bust it out. I don't remember.
No, but I mean, like, so when you come up to Canadian, you came up to Canadian Nationals.
Yeah.
Did you have, like, a goal in mind? Or were you just, like, this is my expectation or this is my goal?
No, because I'm cognizant enough that I don't practice enough.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm not gunning to be first. You know, if I do well, I'm happy. But mostly for Canadian Nationals is like, yeah, let's go hang out with Eric. Chris is gonna be there. You know, Keith from Vancouver was going up, people from my meta, everyone gets to hang out together. It was awesome.
No, I agree. I think, like, okay, let me put it this way. When I, like, what do you think my goals are when I go to a tournament? Because I think you said something that was very interesting to me.
Yeah, so I think this is your mindset. You're just like, fuck everyone else. I'm going to win this shit. And you just, that's like odd repeat in your mind while you're playing games. It's like, and then you win and you're like, yeah. Fuck everyone else. I'm the best.
So that's not my
no
mindset.
Dang, I thought I was close.
No, I think, you know, it's tough. Well, it's interesting we brought up the Canadian National example, because one of the Canadian Nationals was one of the things that motivated me to take a break from Netrunner in February, because I was so unhappy with the pressure, the self-imposed pressure,
right?
You know, because I'd felt that, like, if I, you know, winning US Nationals was an incredible achievement. But at the same time, I did feel, and, like, I think the community was not help. Like, it's, I think it's tough. I think it's tough because when you cultivate a personality that is, like, braggadocious, and then you become self-conscious about winning or losing, it's tough to kind of be like, oh, like, actually, guys, like, I'm worried because, like, it doesn't fit with the narrative.
Right.
So I think it was tough going into Canadian Nationals for me, like, mentally, because I think everyone was kind of like,
you have to win Can Nats,
yeah,
because you just won US Nats, and, like, if you lose Can Nats, you're not that good.
Yeah, that basically, that was, like, how I felt the narrative was, which is, like, I think kind of toxic. So, like, I remember the morning of, the morning before Swiss, I threw up in the washroom because I was so nervous to play in the tournament. Absolutely.
No.
Absolutely, I was so nervous.
That's
you know,
why you're late,
like,
to breakfast. It all
that was what
it's all coming together.
Yeah, absolutely, I was so nervous. I mean, I ended up getting second, which to me was like, I was so happy. I was so thrilled to get second. But when I play a tournament, like when I play a tournament, I don't feel like I've never in my life felt that first is the goal.
Okay,
actually, that's actually true. I've never felt that way. The way I feel is, my sort of vibe is, I want to win more than half my games. That's always like been the goal.
It's a good goal.
Win more than half your games, and anything else is a bonus. So, like, even in the last 2 years of my life, I've been in more top cut situations, which I think is good, because when I started making top cuts, it's like you don't know what to do with yourself. You get restless. It's like unfamiliar. But now, when I make top cut, it's just like, okay, I kind of know how this goes. I know, like, what this is going to be like. I can focus just on the Netrunner part of it. It's not like an unfamiliar experience. Even when I was in like top 16, when I was in the grand finals of APAC, and like I think a lot of people were like, Eric's got this. I was like, I was worried. Like, I was very worried. Like, I wasn't like, I was going to enjoy my games, but I was worried that, like, I thought Longy was a really good player, and I thought my matchups weren't great. So I was worried about going into that finals. Yeah. I've never really felt like you, I think that's true of most players. I think this is something Laura and I talk about a lot, because she won the U.S. national, the fake Nats.
Yeah.
I think there is a certain degree of, like, imposter syndrome among the top players, like, top Netrunner players, that it would not surprise me if we did, like, a questionnaire. But no, I think the mindset for me has always been one of just, like, win more than half your games and, like, try and do the best you can.
I think that's very healthy.
Yeah, I think if you go into I think one of the things you said about realistic expectations, so, like, if you don't practice at all and then you're, like, don't be upset when you do poorly, I think is like a good way to think about Netrunner. I think on the other hand, though, it's really toxic. And this is like a mindset I sort of fell into for like a while, where it's like, if you, conversely, I don't think it's true that like, if you practice a bunch that you are owed a win.
Oh, absolutely, you know? Not. No. And that's
I think it's really toxic to fall into this category of like, oh, I'm so good that like, I shouldn't be losing to like these like trivial Swiss games or whatever. Like, you know, like I deserve to be, there's no sort of like, no one deserves to be in cut contention or whatever.
Yeah.
So
what I'm saying is, if you're playing a deck and you haven't practiced different matchups, like you're mm-hmm. flying blind.
Do you talk to your other meta mates? Like you Kage has not a massive meta, but like a small tight knit meta.
Yeah, we got a bunch of core players. Not that much. We don't coordinate on decks or anything.
Really?
No, we mostly just, and again, maybe this is more just me, but I like hanging out with them. You know, we play at breweries now, so we'll go for beer, we'll play some Netrunner, have a great time.
Yeah.
But in terms of like testing out decks, it's never really been brought up. We'll talk about like, oh, hey, I played this deck. You know, I pulled off this like sick move. And Keith was just saying he scored two Cyberdeck sandboxes on the same turn with Asa, which is just, man, holy fuck. That sounds good.
That's lit. In our meta, we have a meta of about like 14 people. So I'd say broadly, historically, it's been sort of like, we all sort of help each other on decks in the regular season, but like, you know, like in the week before a tournament, Dragoonkin and Marcus are like sort of the guys I used to test with a bunch. So like we would like get together and like grind decks and be like, this is what we think is good or whatever.
Yep.
And then bring those to tournaments. I had a friend of mine who actually plays top 16 of Worlds, Chris McCulloch, and he was like, we would grind decks out before a tournament, like tests and stuff like that. Now it's mostly with the Snare Bears and stuff like that.
Too good for the Winnipeg crowd.
Well, I think it's like they're...
It's a different level of competition. And I think that's what we're seeing now with, you know, FFG support ending, Nisei taking over, and then doubly so with the whole COVID situation, is really this globalizing of the Netrunner meta, where mm-hmm. even local events now, you might, if you advertise it, then you'll have someone from Europe playing in North America or someone from Australia playing in Europe. Like, and it doesn't matter. It's all online. Exactly.
No, I agree. I think one of the things to make the testing process work for anybody, like this is not like true of like testing groups, I think even like casual testing between friends, is you have to have like a match of expectations.
Mm.
And so like, and this is something I've talked to about, like with the Winnipeg guys about, is like one of the things that frustrates me is like in the Snare Bear group, we brew our own lists all the time, right? And then we have people play them, and if they're bad, we just move on. And there's no hurt feelings. Or like someone like plays a deck, and when someone's like, hey, I think this deck's good, we all play it, and we're like, actually, this deck's bad, and we just move on. And there's no hurt feelings, because there's like an understanding that like we're just going to play what's best no matter what.
Yep.
You know? And that's the goal, is to just win and to play the best no matter what, basically, within reason. And in the Winnipeg thing, it's tough because like there's a mismatch where I am in the position of like, I'm going to win, I want to win, and I'm going to just play whatever I think is the best. And like for Marcus, He's like, I want to win, but also I'm just going to play Shaper no matter what.
Yeah, shout out to Marcus. Love him.
Yeah.
Good decks, just strong jank.
So even in metas where Shaper is terrible, he'll play Shaper. And that bothers me because it's like, I feel like it's tough for me to give feedback. The feedback of like, how do I improve my deck is like, well, you should be playing like Anarch or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But it's because there's a mismatch of expectations. So the Snare Bears thing is like, it's nice because there is that match of expectations. In the Winnipeg thing, I think like, you know, Chris and Marcus, we've both talked about this a long time, but I think for them, it's just like, they're happy where they are. And I think I'm happy where I am. And yeah. that's basically
that. That's the best you can ask for. No shame in being the best Shaper you can be.
No, for sure. If you want,
speaking of bad factions, Sunny, third place at Euros. Explain that to me.
Is that true?
Maybe third in Swiss. I just made a note here.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I can't find the Euros standing.
Oh my god, anymore. The Sunny got third place at Euros? What the fuck?
Oh, there you go.
Have you seen this fucking GIF, by the way?
No, okay, link it to me somewhere.
Click on the deck list, dude. This is fucking hilarious. It's like Aquaman on a turtle.
That's how you get deck list of the week.
What baby. The fuck? Where did he finish up in Scott? Okay, so he was third. Let me give this a heart. He got finished 13th, so he lost both his games initially.
Hey, I mean, good placement. Props to Sunny. Like, and maybe this was a meta call saying, maybe we're not going to see as much Titan.
Like,
I'm not going to get rushed out. Like, I can take my time.
But like, what the fuck? Okay, like to me, this is like goes against like every intuition. The Gachapons are good.
Sunny has fantastic pressure.
It does. You just have to install like a fucking rock of a console before you can get going. 8 cost versus Titan. Like, what the fuck?
Sunny got money, baby. Full-time employment. That's what it does.
No, I think, man, it's cool. I don't think this deck's good, but it's cool.
It looks like a fun deck, and I'm happy that they got where they got with Sunny. Props to
Captain like, Nice. This is, I don't know, look at the matchups. So look at the matchups. It played Titan, Sports Metal, Jinteki PE, Jinteki RP, and Agon Fusion, and it lost to Acer. So the Titan game, I don't know how that went. I think the Titan matchup for this is like not great. So we can call that like, but let's call it like 50-50 for argument's sake.
Yeah.
So it won the 50-50 versus Titan, lost against Acer, which makes sense to me. And then it played four decks that, in my opinion, are basically piles and are slow. So maybe this deck just got good matchups in Swiss?
Let me check something on JNet here. A little insight into how I pick runner decks. I play on JNet, and then when a runner beats me, I was like, dang, was that a good deck? Maybe that was a good deck. So I'll recompile that deck as much as I can in JNet, put some bad cards in it that I like just to fill it out a little bit, and then name it after the person. Well, so I have a Sunny list with turtles. Let's see if it's named after Captain Nice.
Wow, that's crazy. No, it's cool. Like, I think it's cool that decks like this can like exist.
I just call it Turtle Sunny. I don't know who I stole this from.
No, it might be. That's cool though. Amakua. It's interesting. So I guess like the synergy points are Jack Sinclair and like fucking, I don't know, Deuces. Like, okay, sure. Yeah. 50 card deck.
Like, you just get a bunch of money, you get
you're good against
your breakers are not that expensive.
Your breakers are not that expensive. What the fuck are you talking about?
Break any number of subroutines. Oh, that's pretty good.
4 to break every piece of ice. What the fuck is that? Yeah, but you're just
rolling in money.
Sure.
And the rest of them like you just break 20, with Amakua.
If the game goes to turn 20, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, you're Sunny. That's what you're banking on.
I think one of the things about like tournament prep, and I think this is a mistake, I think JNet is good for like most people, but I think if you want to break into like the next like tier of play, I think just like playing random games on JNet isn't going to get you there.
I agree, because good players, like, you know, I'll randomly play Groen Calf or someone like that, and I'll be like, oh, okay, this is going to be a tough one. Not to say that people are bad at Netrunner, but it's a lot of jank around. People are
Whoa. Fucking people are bad at Netrunner. They like, that's not even, that just has to be mathematically true. Like, that, like, absolute, people are fucking trash at Netrunner. People bring, like, random-ass decks on JNet, which is fine, but people have to be bad at Netrunner because, like, that's just what a statistical distribution looks like. Do you know what I mean? if the majority wasn't bad at Netrunner, then like being good would have no meaning, because if everyone right. was good, everyone would just be like average.
I love that we have a little clip of you just saying people are trash at Netrunner. Oh.
But they are. Like, I don't. That's not like. That's not a bold statement. That's just fact. Like,
our new opening theme song is just gonna be a loop of that. Like, people are trash at Netrunner. People are trash at Netrunner. It's true. People are trash at Netrunner. People are trash at Netrunner.
Oh God.
Ah. Oh. Oh, see, like you humanized yourself with the whole "this is my mindset," and then you do that. Oh, the duality of Eric, love it.
I do think, the problem with JNet is that like when you're thinking about a tournament, and especially like a big tournament, so let's say like regionals and above, because for small champs, I think it doesn't matter. Like they're small, people just bring what they like. You should just bring what you like. But let's say regionals above, so you're assuming 20 plus people. I think at that amount of size, you need to think about like what people are going to bring.
Yeah.
And so you might like look at the Freedom list and say like, look, I think a lot of people can bring Titan. I think a lot of people can bring Asa. And the Freedom deck has really great matchups against both of those, so I'm going to play Freedom. But the Freedom has, like, no deck's perfect. And so the Freedom deck, for example, is really bad versus GameNet. Mm-hmm. But you don't think there's going to be a lot of GameNet. I mean, if you look at European Championships, there's only 7 out of 117 players, 7 people brought them. So it was a good call then, because you didn't see the match. The matchup you thought is really bad for you, there's not a lot of. And your good matchups, like Titan and Asa, there's a lot more. And like you're good against Argus too. And so we can sort of like make predictions about what people might bring and then choose deck lists to bring based on that. The problem with JNet is that it's warped feedback because there's no tournament meta and people are just playing what they like, which is fine. But like, you might have an evening where you roll up against 3 game net as Freedom, right?
Yeah. And that skews your perception that like, oh, yeah, shit, this deck sucks.
It doesn't mean the deck's bad. It just means the deck has a really bad matchup. But if that bad matchup isn't going to see play, then it's fine. And I think, that's basically how I feel about it, is it can skew feedback.
Yeah.
And then, It's a bad effect. It's like it leads to like sort of bias in testing results. And I think the other thing is like testing against known quantities or like people who you think are like good or like are making good decisions is better, because you might play on JNet with the Freedom and like roll people like 10 people in a row, but those people are like really bad at Netrunner, which is fine. Like, you know, not everyone can be good at Netrunner. So
JNet's a great place to learn.
Exactly. Like, I encourage people to play on JNet, but you might. If there's a mismatch where someone's like, I'm just going to play like Shimon from Tenon Mass Comm decks just because they're fun. And deck's bad. And no, it's fun, but it's bad. And so you roll that deck and you're like, oh, does that mean that the Freedom, like you win versus those kinds of decks like 5 in a row? Does that mean the Freedom is like the best deck in the meta? No, it just means that you like rolled good matchups against like decks that aren't really decks.
I agree. Anything else we want to touch on here? We're over an hour already. I kind of wanted to look at like some custom cards. Dan B put together an ice cream set of cards.
Okay, so explain to me. I've never heard of this. What Dan Bouchard did ice cream cards? I'm excited. I like ice cream. Actually, I really like ice cream, but I really only like one kind of ice cream.
I've been eating way too much ice cream, so I like all kinds of ice cream. What's the one kind of ice cream you're into?
Well, like, one second. Are you like a committed man?
I'm wary.
Where you just eat one flavor?
Oh, I see.
Where you just eat one flavor?
Or no, is it I'll go all around town, you know.
Oh, so you're like an ice cream. You're like an ice cream swinger.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're okay. Looking good. I'm gonna go for that.
I think. Oh my god!
Holy all fuck. Right, the scoop the cycle from Dan Bouchard. As far as I can tell, there's this Discord called the GLC, Green Level Clearance Discord, which is New Runner focused. So if you're just getting into New Runner, definitely check that out. I think Dan
I can't B stand
is the king of it or something.
What do you think?
He's the only person that ever like.
Well, I think like I've seen Kisra chat in there and Mike and stuff like that. Have you been in there before?
No, I'm old, so I don't really get Discord. I have like I probably have like 30 little buttons on the side. I know about what two of them actually do anymore.
Yeah.
And I get notifications that disappear and randomly pop out. I'm just an old man that yells at clouds and doesn't like Discord as we record this over Discord.
I can't stand the green level clearance Discord.
All those new players not teching for the meta. It's unbearable.
Well, no, it's like part of that. It's also like it's hard to have any let me put it this way. Some of the players in a Discord are great because they're like new but willing to learn. And so like if you just like sort of like discuss with them, they're like, oh, I understand what you mean. And they're like, I changed my opinion. I feel like there's a small subset that's like, not only like my experience as someone who doesn't really know, isn't really good at Netrunner and doesn't know how Netrunner really works, is like trumping 8 years of like grizzled fucking tournament grinder play, is something I find frustrating. And like, I understand, it's also like tough. I find it tough to like have discussions about cards in there because it's like, you know, like we can't agree on, sometimes it's hard to agree on like the basic tenets of how Netrunner works because like, they haven't played a bunch, which is fine. Like I think that's good that that place exists. It's just not for me because I don't want to engage in any discussion about Netrunner. And I think
obviously it's not for you. It's for new players, but thank you for going in there and trying to help out.
Listen, you don't feel, listen, as a white man, everything's supposed to be for me.
Yeah,
so it's very upsetting when there's something that it is. Yeah. It's tough. It's hard,
so hard
when there's something
white.
That, it's oh hard. Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's hard when there's something that isn't for me. So it's a struggle.
Yes.
But
where you're coming from.
These are all ice cream. So every one of these ice.
It's ice.
I get it because it's ice cream.
Yes. It's the scoop ice cycle. So let's go through these. We're starting with neutral cards.
We don't need to go through all of these. These are a lot. We can like, let's pick some favorites.
Let's pick some favorites, sure.
I don't see, the problem is it's like, what the fuck is mint chip? I don't know what mint chip is.
Mint chip, and another shout out to Kisra Ketchen, is ice cream that is mint flavored with chocolate chips. They share this great recipe to make it like by yourself at home. I have like
mint?
Way too much mint in my backyard, so it's so delicious. It's so good.
Mint in ice cream?
Mint in ice cream. Yeah, off the bat it sounds disgusting, but it's actually really good.
What's lemon sorbet?
A sorbet? It sounds French, but I know French, and maybe it's French. Anyways, it's just like, instead of a cream, it's just like a more water-based. It's basically just frozen juice.
What is it?
Okay, so I like this. Licked, a lockdown operation, which is a great new subtype. Until the beginning of your next turn, the first subroutine on ice cream ice can't be broken. Which is a great philosophy to design around, saying it's going to be multi-subroutine, and the first subroutine can be impactful, but probably not just straight up end the run.
Well, it's kind of, well, it's busted, because the cone says end the run as it subs. Oh, cones on ice cream ice.
Oh, dang. He was thinking.
I'm so mind-flooded right now. Like, what? I'm like...
What are you focused on? You're not playing next
weekend. No, I have to commentate, though.
Oh,
like, I'm mind flooded by reading this. I'm stressed out. I'm trying to understand.
You're like, oh, I have to place all of these in top deck or top tier decks.
Like, I'm trying to, first I have to, like, fucking understand what ice cream is. And then I also need to, like, do card evaluation, which is tough because, like, in some sense, like, there's bonus points here for flavor, but I don't know how ice cream works. So I don't know if a card is, like, on, what does cherry on top mean? Nobody knows. You know?
You've never seen the platonic ideal of a sundae and it has a cherry on top? That's the cherry on top.
What's a sundae?
Oh my god. Let's not even do this. Sprinkles, like, operation, zero cost. Install sprinkles on a piece of rezzed ice cream ice and gains the hosted condition counter with the text, host gains when the runner passes this ice, do one net damage. So turn any ice cream ice into Kakugo.
That's pretty good. So like you can play, but the important thing is you can stack multiple of these on one ice.
Yes. And then lock out.
Oh, this is insane. No, this is gross.
Too
you
much?
Just like put this. Well, the problem is you put this on the remote or whatever, or like R&D. Like it's good in a grinder deck. No, wait, this is just Kakugo.
This is just Kakugo without Kakugo. But you need a red piece of ice. They see it coming. It's maybe better than Kakugo. You can't farm.
It has to be ice cream ice.
Yeah.
I guess the question is like all of the ice cream ice are like spread across different factions. So yes. It's a lot of influence to like play.
Well, there's three per faction here. Like, you don't need to use all of them.
But it's two ice cream. We need to put this doc in the show notes, by the way.
I will.
Like, yeah, this needs to go in the show notes. I do think that it looks like the theme is like two ice cream ice and then a third like non-ice thing.
Do you like that design philosophy? FFG did this a lot. Like, come up with a thing like Deva Ice and then give one to each faction.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think it's like, I think it's interesting to put like something I like is when you put like, let's say for example, you give Criminal's new theme is power counters. Okay, like that's their sub theme this cycle. So you put some power counter cards in Criminal also, but then you also put some Shaper cards in there that like are payoffs for power counters or like or power counter generators. I think it's more interesting when you have to spend influence on like synergistic deck win cons rather than just like good cards. You know,
what I
mean?
Straight up, just pack all the good Anarch cards in one deck and call it a day.
Who do you want to bring on for guests? We could probably eventually get some guests for this.
I love so many people in the community. Let's spitball here.
Well, Dan Bouchard.
Dan Bouchard, great work with this. Great work with green level clearance. Well known and loved for his chicken alt arts. I think he'd be a fantastic guest.
He's such a good community builder. I could not imagine having to build the community. It seems like it would be fucking miserable. Like, could you imagine helping people? That would suck. Yeah, I'm just out here to grind tournaments.
Yeah.
Yes.
What a thankless job.
I mean, it kind of is a thankless job, though.
Dan B, if you listen to our nonsense,
we love him.
Come on our show.
CTZ?
The Sauce Boss CTZ, yes, from San Francisco fame.
It's tough. He's kind of, I think he's retiring from Netrunner and just going to become a Dark Souls streamer.
He's been doing a good job. It's good.
Have you seen his Dark Souls stream?
I've seen a little bit of it. I haven't.
I've been watching, I've been catching it when I can. It's really good. It's a good vibe. I want to get Johnny on here.
Johnny would be fantastic. Speaking of, Nisei snuck out a podcast. Unpopular Mechanics off of Reddit does their own thing, and they didn't really advertise this was coming out anywhere except Twitter. It's called like Big Brain Hour or something. Let me find this.
Big Brain Hour. It's definitely
but
not
Johnny
called Big Brain.
And Reality Check Serenity are on this podcast. I listened to it. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I think, you know, I would like also to get Serenity on here. I'd want to get Aki on here.
Anyone from Nisei, shout out.
I
love Johnny, hearing about the behind the scenes of Nisei.
It's like, yeah, Johnny, honestly, I would like to have Johnny on. I think Johnny has like such a good, not only like a good philosophy about Netrunner, but games and sort of the life in general. And I think they cut through a lot of the idea that like there's objectively right things and instead they're more focused on like making sure everyone has a good time and like that the cards are just like fun to play with, which I think is like a really refreshing approach to Netrunner, and I'm really happy to see what they do with the new set.
The podcast is not called Big Brain Hour, it's called Brainwaves. Probably the easiest way to go. Just find Project Nisei Twitter and it's up there.
Yeah. So we could get some people.
Anyone in the community, you wanna come out here, talk with us.
I want Dire on here. Like Dire, I know there's no way fucking way he would do this podcast.
You think he's so far above us he would never stoop this low.
I think he's like too, he's got his upper lip is too stiff. You know? Like he wouldn't come down to our level. Okay. Yeah, like he wouldn't come down to our level.
Speaking of Brits, I have to apologize. I called Rotaj, David Say a thief earlier. He's not actually a thief. He stole the cards that Eric was selling for me. But he mailed them back.
Oh, fuck.
That's been weighing on me for like the last hour. I was like, oh, I'm going to get some hate mail on this from probably the whole UK. He's a gem.
Oh, yes. Okay, so at US Nationals, I was selling the leftovers
From
from
Worlds, yeah.
Worlds, and I sold like I didn't sell a ton, but I sold like a bit, which I had to use for food money at the time. That's a story for another day. I remember the night after Swiss, the night of Swiss, I realized I couldn't find the deck box with all the cards in it, and like I searched around, I had to like talk to Phil and be like, "Hey, I fucked up. Like, I'll give you the money back in like lost cards. Like, this sucks. I'm sorry." And you took it pretty well. Like, you were pretty good about it, I think,
It was
which was good.
honestly wasn't worth that much. I wasn't too
Yeah,
worried
yeah.
about it.
And then I was just like, I guess it's like lost. Like, I don't understand who could have taken it. And then like I think like a week later, I got a Slack message from Rodage being like, "Hey, I took your cards by accident."
I don't remember how it happened.
I think it was just a mistake.
Because
That
he
shit
was selling
happens.
stuff for Ollie Sinodov, Tea and Ink, just fantastic artist.
Ollie is so good.
Just
Ollie is
a
great.
great, oh, the
Do
talent, so
ask them for
jealous.
commissions. Their commissions are excellent.
Yes, another guest we should have on our podcast.
Yeah, we should get an
Yeah.
artist. Yeah, for sure.
How, what if we just get everyone and then we quit the podcast, just record what they say and then release that? Money in the
Okay,
bank.
we gotta wrap this up.
Yeah.
This is like a double feature episode.
I know, a week after our first one, so don't expect this every week.
No, we'll probably do something soonish after North America shakes out. I'll see you guys in
Yeah,
commentary.
for sure.
I gotta prepare for intercontinentals.
Things I have to mention before we're done here. New theme music by Marcus, I hope.
Marcus from Winnipeg, gotta love it.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. Hopefully he sends me stuff before we release this. Otherwise, it'll be the same as last week, and then
Well,
the
you just
delightful
cut it
Marcus
out. You
track.
just cut.
Just cut this out.
Yep.
They'll never hear
Just cut
anything.
this out. You'll never hear
Yeah.
it.
I think I'm done.
Yeah, okay. Thanks a bunch, Phil. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. A delight as always.
Have a good day.
You
Goodbye.
too. You too. Good luck commentating.
Thanks a bunch.
Don't mess up.
Fucking people are bad at Netrunner. Fucking people are bad at Netrunner. People are fucking trash at Netrunner.
People are fucking trash at Netrunner.